WTVQ.
Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station. And don't go anywhere, especially if you have, especially if you're a sci-fi reader. I was going to say, especially if you have young readers in the house. By the way, young readers are usually the age between, I think, 8 and 14, and my guests can correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw a very interesting piece on CNN the other day talking about the most popular, successful, money-making movies now are that age, are young readers, are books turned into movies. These are the one like Hunger Games, and you know, that genre, that kind of science fiction sort of age group, that the book starts for that age group and then turns into these big movie blockbusters. And I suspect that my next guest might have one of the next big movie blockbusters. The book is Survival Colony 9, Forget the Past, Fight to Stay Alive. This is definitely a science fiction book that is written for about 14-year-old boys, which, as I said, is the biggest thing right now. Joshua David Bellin has... This is his third book. He is getting, this is going to be a sequel, and he's getting a lot of very good press. The Washington Post mentioned this in one of its articles, and he certainly has gotten a lot of other good press about this book. And before I say anything more, let me welcome Joshua David Bellin to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Pretty good, Shannon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on your book. As I said, this is a hot topic. This is a hot genre, I should say. Science fiction among that young readers. And that young readers is about age 8 to 14, right?
Yeah, I'd say probably up to about 18 would be the age range. And you're right, it's very hot. I mean, you mentioned the Hunger Games, the Divergent movie
Divergent
came out.
Divergent was the other one, yeah.
The Maze Runner is just about to come out, so there's a lot going on.
There really is. Now, that's not really what I think about, but when I saw this interview with a top producer in Hollywood, she said that's definitely where everything is at, and I thought, you know, she's probably right. That's where the money is. That's where the action is, and you have written a book definitely in this, and this is what you've always done. You know, you say that you have written books like this since you were 8 years old. You are also a college professor, so you certainly, you know, are a little bit past that in writing books, but you've gone back to writing this fiction. And this book, Survival Colony 9, Forget the Past, Fight to Stay Alive, is a very nail-biting kind of book about the future. Tell us about the character. What's his name? Queerygen?
Yeah, Query. I usually say it Jen.
Jen, okay. Not sure.
He's a 14-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. He's living in a future world where due to war and climate catastrophe, things have gone horribly, horribly wrong. The world is essentially a desert. To add to the difficulty that the few human survivors are experiencing, there are monsters. I'm a big monster guy. There are monsters called the Scaldi that have mysteriously appeared on the planet, and they're mimics. They have the ability to consume and mimic human hosts. And so the colonies are escaping, trying to flee from these creatures that could appear at any time.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I really love about this book is that you bring in the Scaldi right on the front page. You know, This is the enemy, and we don't have to wait to hear about the enemy. They are right there. So it just takes you right into this book. How fearful are these Scaldi, and what are they going to do to us? I mean, how are they going to ruin the world?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that they have the capacity, I suppose, since they do have the capacity to rip through a colony in no time flat, consuming the members and then mimicking the members one at a time, in theory they would have the capacity to eliminate the human race. And I think that's the fear that the colonies live with daily.
Mm-hmm. And what year is this set in?
I'm a little vague about that. Maybe it's 50 years from now, maybe it's 100 years from now. It's in the future. Let's just put it that way.
And what does our Earth look like? Are we kind of scorched Earth here?
Yeah, it's really sort of a climate change nightmare scenario, I suppose you would say. I mean, there's different scenarios that you can get in a climate change novel, but this is the sort of desert drought version of that, where the world has essentially been turned to a desert, very little water, very unpredictable weather, occasional violent storms, very little surviving vegetation. So food is very hard to come by. That's the version of the world that I created for this book.
And what did the Washington Post say? Now, they're talking about science fiction and bringing in this climate change, and they mentioned your book in this. So is climate change a part of the book, or is it just part of the universe as we move forward in your book?
I'd say it's It's definitely, I mean, it's essential. It's the setting of the novel. It informs the world, and it informs everything that the people do to survive in that world. You know, the world as it is shapes who they are and what they can do. And that's very much the case with a lot of so-called cli-fi. That's the genre that has been emerging recently, fiction having to do with climate change or global warming. Sometimes it's just a backdrop in cli-fi. Other times it can be very much about people trying to avert climate change or trying to restore the world to what it was. You know, cli-fi sometimes takes that direction. But one way or another, the presence of a climate-altered world is very much central to that fiction.
You know, I saw that cli-fi, and I thought it was a misprint. I thought, I've never seen cli-fi. I'm sure they must have made a misprint.
Yeah, it's a new term that's kind of
floating
around.
It's a new term,
yeah.
Cli-fi. It probably is going to catch on very much.
It's catchy, isn't it?
It is pretty catchy. And yeah. Now I get what it means, and I didn't get it. You know, Feathered Quill has said that you have introduced a creature so insidious it might even creep into the reader's dreams. Is that part of what you love to do, get these monsters into these young minds? And have them, or do you expect them to be fearful or just excited over this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was writing the Scaldi, I wanted them to be scary. I wanted them to be terrifying. And a number of reviewers have said that. And working with my editor really sort of helped push me to make them even scarier. I thought, you know, they were scary enough. And she said, no, we can twist that a little bit more. And I said, okay, I got no problem with that. But it's not, you know, I'm not out to scare somebody just to scare somebody.
Right.
I think that monsters can be and fear for that matter can be a good, I don't know whether I want to call it kind of a tool for thought. You know, it's a way to think about who we are and our own condition. And that's really sort of where I think I was going with the Scaldi.
Mm. And, you know, I keep saying boys, but, you know, there's that whole, as I mentioned, this is a very big genre. This is what makes money. This is what sells. So obviously it goes both ways. It's boys and girls. It's not just boys that read this anymore. Girls care about this. How do you see the difference now than years ago? Because years ago, I do think it was mostly boys. I have a brother and he read all this stuff all the time. I didn't. Do you think it's changing and the girls are going over to sci-fi and cli-fi and all that a lot more?
I think so. I mean, I think especially in young adult, if you look at the audience for young adult of young readers and then also adults who read young adult, it's boys and girls, men and women who are interested in it. And I think you're right. My experience growing up was similar to yours. My younger sister just wasn't interested in this sort of thing, and neither were any of her friends. These were boy books. I don't think that's the case anymore, and I think that's a good thing, that it's opened up, and these are stories that boys, girls, in the teen age group, as I said, or even older, can really enjoy and really get into.
Mm-hmm. So you are writing a sequel to this, I understand. This is not alone, Survival Colony 9. Have you started the sequel?
I have not only started, but finished a draft of the sequel. It's not in its sort of final form, but it's a complete narrative, yes.
Okay. Well, and obviously Query is still there, the main character, I would assume. I mean, you don't have to tell us if it's going to ruin anything, but I would assume.
There's no spoilers there. He's definitely a part of the follow-up story.
Okay, so now he's not 14 anymore. He's gotten a little bit older. He has survived somehow the Scaldi, and I'm sure, you know, still fighting them off, as is the rest of the world. Are you thinking this might be a movie someday?
Boy, I'm hoping. You know, I just think I'm sort of a visual thinker. I always have been. When I was a kid, I was into science fiction movies. I did a little animated filmmaking, that sort of thing. You know, took a class and did some stop motion. I thought I was going to be the next Ray Harryhausen, you know, who did those stop motion movies back in the day. So I tend to be a visual thinker, and there's a lot of elements of this novel, you know, the desert landscape, the colonies, the places they stay, the Scaldi themselves, that I think would really lend themselves to a cinematic treatment. So I'm certainly hoping.
Yeah, well, as I say, you know, you are certainly right in the right genre to make a lot of money, and you certainly have the love of this, and you have done this. Now, you are a teacher, a professor, and do you teach? You don't teach this. You teach literature. Do you ever consider yourself teaching young men how to, or young people how to write these kind of books, or any age, I should say, to write science fiction books?
Well, it's interesting because what I have done most of my teaching career is I teach literature and I teach writing, but mostly what I'm teaching have taught in the past was academic writing, you know, how to write the college essay, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've been publishing more fiction, I'm moving in the direction of teaching more fiction writing classes, whether it's on my college campus or just working with young people in my community to talk about fiction, fictional technique and craft and so forth. So I really see that as a direction that I am moving and really want to move.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly this is your love and this is what you have done all your life, and the kids that you teach must be very excited about this. I mean, certainly this is in a very exciting book, I mean, for that sort of thing. And, you know, even as a girl, I can see where it's really exciting. And when these things come to life, when we do see them in the movies and when we read them, they really become part of our life. And as I said, you have gotten wonderful reviews already on this. And the book is just coming out now, right? In fact, I think it's not quite out yet, am I right?
It's not quite out. I'm holding in my hand, even as we speak, a finished copy of the book because I got some author copies, you know, advance author copies. So these are not the cheapy paperbacks that they put out just to get reviews. This is the real thing, and it's totally exciting to hold it in my hand.
I bet
it doesn't,
is.
Yeah, it doesn't come out for the, I guess, general public until the 23rd of this month.
Well, congratulations. The general public can definitely get it then. That's only a week or so, you know, 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I have your website on Shannon's Corner, so anybody listening can just go there, find out more information about you, where the book is, read it, and hopefully we will see this into a movie someday. But in the meantime, we should all read it and push it up there. Thank you so much for joining us. The book is Surviving Colony 9, Joshua David Bellin. Forget the past, fight to stay alive. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for listening to us here on WTVQ. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.